That conversation is coming up next.
Power Lunch, weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
All right, 25 minutes after 12 o'clock. So we heard this, the 2023 budget speech by Minister of Finance Enoch Godongwana, announcing a series of tax incentives to promote self-generation and renewable energy, looking at the country's energy crisis in South Africa, experiencing over 200 days of load shedding in 2022. So Roger Hislop, Energy Management Systems Executive at CBI, is saying that this proposal is actually a much-needed step towards promoting the use of clean energy and reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. Let's get the latest now from Roger Hislop, Energy Management Systems Executive. Roger, a pleasure speaking to you. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you.
Oh, looks as though we've got a problem as well on that front. Okay, so let me see how we can make this work, Roger. But, you know, it's good to have these incentives. We're going to try to get around it and see if we can listen. But if we fail, we'll try to fix the system as always. But, you know, it's good to have these kinds of incentives. Roger, I think the big question here becomes, how are ordinary South Africans going to afford this? Solar is about 150K or so, right? If you really want to put in some good stuff, right? If you want to put in an inverter, sometimes it's about 15,000 rand. And the like. I mean, obviously you don't get like incentives on that front, but it's expensive. It's not a cheap exercise to be going the renewable energy part, though there are tax incentives, but it also becomes exclusive for those that can afford. So how do we navigate this?
Well, I think you're spot on there, is that tax incentives, it was great news. It does show a kind of a clear commitment by the government to drive self-generation. But it only goes 5% of the way there. As you rightly point out, solar is plus batteries, plus inverter, plus a switchgear, plus installation is going to cost you anything from 120 to 200K. And the tax rebate effectively taps out at 15,000 Rand, and that's on the panels only, which means that if you've got a tax liability at the end of the tax year, you'll get 15K deducted. If you've got no tax liability, then obviously you don't get that 15K deducted. So it's a useful amount of money, but not everybody is going to be able to access all of it, depending on how kind of how generously their employers calculate their PAYE.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good start, but it's not enough.
It really is. It's a good start. And as I said, we're going to try and get our lines all jacked up, Roger. And we're going to try and make the most of how we can get this conversation through. But, you know, right now, there's conversations, and I think I want us to be very frank about this. There are real conversations about the eventuality or the possibility. Before, it was an impossible status quo, but right now there's a strong possibility of imminent grid failure or grid collapse. And you've got the likes of insurance companies that are protecting themselves against that eventuality if it should happen. What do South Africans do to prevent catastrophe if it should happen?
So I think the easiest thing that we can do is to reduce the amount of power that we consume. Try be responsible in using power. Don't run lots of heating or lots of cooling unless you absolutely have to. If we as individuals can just take some of the load off the grid, it will help. But what we also need to be doing is, as homeowners and as business owners or business managers, is we need to be putting in energy management systems, because a lot of the consumption that most...
Roger, I'm going to try to get you back. We're going to try to sort this issue out. Please bear with us. We are working on it just to get our lines so that you can hear these conversations, because otherwise it doesn't do justice to it. But we're going to keep on talking. I'm going to also try to take a couple of your lines. I saw some of you wanting to call in on 0861987000 on if you've ever been contacted by your insurance company on protecting themselves in case there's a grid failure. I'll take some of those calls. Hopefully I get to hear you and we get to hear each other as we try to amend what is. But right now, let's go over to the news, right? It's 12:30. Let's get your latest in power news with Risho Getrimalachi.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope. Weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Now we are talking, 25 minutes to go before the top of the hour. Let's try to talk once again. yeah, I think we should have fixed a couple of system issues, but that's fine. I wanted to talk a little bit about this renewable energy as well as the tax incentives that have been earmarked for those that are going the renewable energy solutions direction. The big problem with that also becomes how it's not for the masses, right? It's for those that can afford. How many people can actually afford to install, which is, you know, it's good to install it. If you don't have a generator, so you actually have to install an inverter, or you're going to have to have a generator, or you're going to have to actually go completely solar to as an actual one-time solution for this, a long-term solution for this. And it's about 150K, 160K in some instances if you do like the rounds. And then obviously there's that then government tax incentive that will be coming to you that is up to 15,000. So it's not 15, it's up to 15,000. But then how do we start fixing with the current threats of the possibility of a grid failure? We're still with Roger Hislop, who's an energy management systems executive. Roger, I hope we've got things right now. Let's try it again. And I wanted to take it from the part of people cannot afford at this, because we've tightened our belts even further, can't afford to be going the 150, 160K route. It's a beautiful investment to have, but it's not for everybody. And you were saying that people need to find a way of reducing electricity consumptions. While in some houses, there's not even electricity for 3-4 days on end. So how much more reduction can come from that? And what do people do in the meantime?
So that's very true. So I think as a principle, reducing our energy consumption is imperative. And in some cases, people can't reduce it anymore. They've already got their geysers on, timers on, controllers. They're already being sparse with their heating. They have maybe put in the gas stove. So there's not a lot of fat left to trim. Mm. In the business space, I think there's a lot more that can be done. Businesses are often quite energy inefficient because they've become so used to sort of getting an invoice every month. You pay it, you cry a little bit, but you wait for the next month. In businesses, there is a lot of scope for reducing energy consumption. Or if not reducing it, at least shifting it. So moving it out of peak times, moving it into the late evening, late night, so that at least the load is spread a bit more evenly through the day. And that's obviously going to require energy management systems, which is kind of where we step in with our solution. But it can be done sort of semi-manually, but it means that people have to be tasked with it, have to be managed. But there's definitely fat that can be trimmed there on the energy utilization by businesses. At a certain point, as you say, you start getting to the point where you're starting to cut into muscle, where you're directly impacting a business's ability to do what it needs to do. You're directly impacting people's lifestyles. And that's where you need to start looking very hard at embedded generation or self-generation. And again, as you say, for some people, 150K is just too much money, which doesn't mean that there's a lot of people out there that could start doing their own embedded generation. The 15K tax incentive, not a bad thing, definitely takes some of the sting out of it. So people are then going to be starting to look at finance solutions. And this is where it gets a bit tricky. People are already quite close to the line in terms of burden. Can they take on another 150K of a finance solar system? Well, the sad truth is that they don't have a choice. If you don't have power in the modern world, it's really difficult to run your life without light, without hot water. It just gets it gets quite difficult, quite uncomfortable. So I suppose the next obvious thing is that government looks at putting in place some kind of mechanism to protect the market, especially the consumer market, from inflated prices, from inflated funding of energy systems, just to stop the very strong possibility that guys are going to stop the price gouge, because we're already in a situation where sometimes you're waiting for at least weeks, if not months, for an install to happen, because there's just simply not enough installation teams. There's just not enough kids in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, recently, most of the big distributors had no stock of panels.
Nothing whatsoever, no stock?
Not a sausage. There's an electrical supply off the road from me. They had panels, but they had no batteries, lithium batteries, not one of any type. So we're getting these the massive demand because people have suddenly gone, actually, this is our life. This is reality. Load shedding is never going to end. We need to pull the trigger. So a lot of people who've been hesitating for the last year or two have now gone, we've got to do it. We've got to do it now. Which means that there's a lot of stock outs, which means the guys are now starting to charge premiums. And that also can't be allowed to flourish simply because, as you say, affordability is a huge factor at play here.
I definitely hear you on that. Roger, we have to leave it here. Roger Hislop is the Energy Management Systems Executive at CBI on matters of renewable energy and the like. We're going to continue and speak to this issue also on the Judicial Conduct Tribunal.